Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
We're not going for that no more. That's over with. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land, the land of the Negroes, the land of the true Israelites, the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Come on, people, let's not forget Genesis 25. Esau was described to a T, and we know who looks like him. And the only reason a description was needed is because the whole earth, the whole planet was black. It turned it black and brown. But I'm not going to even use that because that's something the narrative and the media is pushing. The black and brown people know we are the indigenous people of the land. You got the seed of Satan, the fallen ones running around here, the serpent people who they boldly call themselves serpents out of Ukraine that are occupying the land of Israel right now. Time is up. So I pray for those part two. He told us to pray for the ones that Yah gave him, that God gave Jesus, that Yah gave the shot, the remnant, the elect. And I'm praying for the elect, and we're going to pray for the elect to be saved through this and endure through this. We have to pray for them, not kumbaya and pray for our enemies. No, we're not praying for them. We're not turning the other cheek, and we're going to get into that right now. I'm not praying for them. I'm praying for my people that were going on about their day, shopping, being peaceful, loving, and forgiving. And you send out one of your little MK Ultra clones who had put in his manifesto for years on social media. You can find us when we speak the truth and censor us. But you won't go chase down this little 18-year-old kid that had a manifesto and a social media page describing what he was going to do. You probably gave him a limousine police escort to the location as he drove for 200 hours, just like you did Ruth Dillon when you took him to Burger King before you took him to jail. We're not doing this no more. We're not going to fall into your trap of going out there to protest. That does nothing. We're calling on our God because vengeance is his. And you'll see what happens when his people call on him and they come together. And that's called imprecatory prayers, that the Christian church, through Esau being over us, told you not to pray this way, to turn the other cheek. Nah, we're not having that. We're not having any of that. Okay, so here we go. Imprecatory prayers are found in Psalms written by King David, the man who perfected praise and worship and how to play music and sing until demons fled out of people, who created instruments of worship and praise, knew how to write songs, but he was a man of war, and he was a king and a priest. He wrote these imprecatory Psalms, and you're going to learn about them today. They contain curses or prayers for the punishment of the psalmist and his enemies. Now, I'm going to give you a warning before I get into this. You're not one to sit up here and pray these prayers, and you are a sinner, and you are hellish, and you don't love your people yourself. If you keep in these statutes, laws, and commandments, you can pray these prayers. And don't sit up here and act like, listen, the Father, according to Acts the 5th chapter, gives his Holy Spirit to those that obey him. One of the areas you must obey him is by keeping all of his laws, dietary laws, the Sabbath, everything. If you still step in Christianity, you acting like you have the Holy Spirit because you don't, because you will not receive the Holy Spirit, nor will he hear your prayers according to Scripture and Proverbs. If you don't keep the commandments, the laws, and ordinances, your prayers are an abomination before him. You look it up and Google it. He's not even hearing your prayers, so you don't have the Holy Spirit. You got a lot of imposters that walk around in religion that act like they're filled with the Holy Spirit by speaking gibberish, shouting, and prophesying. They have a demon on them. They're just as composed and calm as, I say, as President Barack Obama was when he was lambasted. He always remained calm because Satan has a way of doing that, not losing his cool to confuse you. That's a false pseudo-wannabe Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, when it's in you, it quickens you. What is a quickening? It shakes you. It jolts you. It's the fire that burns inside you that gives you passion and zeal, compassion as well. So don't try and articulate and describe the Holy Spirit to me that you don't have. people like David Lynn and other people out here showboating for YouTube to get followers to try and fight other people with their false doctrine. I'm sick of you too, because you love our enemy, and I don't want nothing to do with people like that. So you're not going to be able to pray these prayers that bring curses and prayers if you're not living right. You can cause a curse to come on you. Imprecatory psalms, songs that contain curses or prayers for the punishment of the psalmist's enemies. That's why I started with that song from old school that I used to play. May the Most High have peace on the souls of the path that used to walk with me when I played that song. But he starts off saying, Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm getting ready to chase you out of earth. I'm going to put on an iron shirt and chase Lucifer out of the earth. That's an imprecatory song. That's better than the Christian songs you sang that they sang to Jesus. I love Jesus, but you don't want to keep his commandments. So sick of these people, like this guy, David Lynn, again, who go around here trying to find out how much we don't have to do anymore because of Jesus in order to be closer to God, as opposed to how much more can I do to get closer to the Most High. See, we got folks that believe the God of the Old Testament is different from their God of the New Testament, Jesus and Paul, running a close second. Those are the two gods they worship in New School Christianity. They have been deceived by the way the Romans have put together these compilations of scrolls and called it a Bible. Imprecate means to invoke evil upon or curse. Psalm 7, Psalms 35, Psalms 55, Psalms 58. Psalms 59, Psalms 69, Psalms 79, Psalms 109, Psalms 137, and Psalms 139. Now, you can't tell me it ain't serious, and y'all didn't know about this. Y'all just didn't know about this because they didn't want you to know about this. They'd rather have you come on stage, bring these fake attorneys. I forget the name of this attorney. They work for the CIA, the FBI. They're hired by them. And bring up these people and have you sing Kumbaya and dance the way and forget about it and desensitize you. David wasn't playing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 chapters of Psalms to destroy his enemies because he was a man of war. And we are in a spiritual battle that will manifest in the physical if we come together. Let's get into these scriptures. I pray for those. What I left off with last week, it's time for us to just pray for us. We're not praying for this world. We're not praying for America. We're not praying for some revival. We sure ain't praying for no rapture. We're praying for us to prepare ourselves. And I'm going to take you through the scriptures of where we stand. First one being Psalms 155. Psalms 55 and 15. This is one of the prayers I want you to pray, and I want you to write these scriptures down and say them every day as it pertains to the families of Buffalo, to the families of George Floyd, to the families of every person that's ever been killed and how they're wrapping it up, your children, pray over your children. And I, just roll with me. I got so much that's come to me. I want you to hear this. Psalm 55, 15 says, let death take my enemies by surprise. Let them go down alive to the grave. Oh, you never read this in your Bible. Right. Next one, Psalm 58 and 6. O God, in their mouths. And I'm talking about the killers, the killers' families, and the people in the courts, and the juries that will acquit a young man like this and plead insanity. I'm praying against all this, the entire system. And the media trying to put a spin on it just to increase viewership. Psalm 69 and 28. May they be blotted out of the book of life and not be listed with the righteous. Hallelujah. Psalms 109 and 9. May his children be fatherless and his wife a widow. I'm only giving you verses of all these chapters, but the entire chapters are songs of imprecatory prayers that Yah will establish revenge. Psalms 137 and 9. How blessed will be the one who seizes your infants and dashes them against the rocks. Not my Jesus. Yes, this is your Jesus. Speaking through King David, the prophet, the king, the priest. That's who he is. You have to understand Romans 9 and 13, where Paul is actually saying, he's quoting from Malachi 1, verses 2 and 3. Jacob I have loved and Esau I hate. He reestablishes that in your so-called New Testament, which is some tomfoolery. These people that you read about the New Testament were reading what you call the Old Testament and writing letters to each other to encourage each other based on what the prophets and Tanakh said. But you can't even wrap your mind around that. You're so simple. Psalms 19 and 7 says the law of the Lord is perfect, making wise the simple. You're so simple because you don't want to keep the law. You're simple-minded. Nevertheless, you need to understand that there is a hatred and there's a perfect hatred. I'm about to read you all the scriptures. There's a reason why he did not want to deal with Esau, because he could see the heart of Esau is wicked and evil to the core. Born a hunter, an eater of red meats. And then the world will teach you through the Christian church, oh, we got to forgive and love him. And he'd be like, no, I'm going to deal with these people. And I'm getting ready to show you, Israel, my people, what we're supposed to be doing in this hour. Before I go there, go to Ecclesiasticus in the Apocrypha, which means hidden books, 14 that they snatched out of the 1611 Bible and tried to hide from you. It says this, for the Most High hateth sinners and will repay vengeance unto the ungodly. But you learned in your church that he loves the sinner but hates the sin. No, they're not one and the same. I mean, they're not separate. They are one and the same. They are indicative of each other. You can't separate them. Let me read Ecclesiasticus 12 and 6 again. For the Most High hateth sinners, comma, and will repay vengeance unto the ungodly. This is what's coming. Those that have chosen sin, he hates you. And guess what? I hate you too. Oh, he tripping. Listen to that, brother. Man, he's really off. Let me show you how off I am. Psalms 139. Turn to Psalms 139 in your Bible, the only books you read, because some man told you not to read any other books. Psalms 139 and 22. It says, I hate them with perfect hatred, and I count them mine enemies. Who? Sinners, those against the commandments of the nations that desire to shoot us, kill us, and establish racism. It says, I hate them with perfect hatred. Even the verse before that, Paul is saying, do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate you? I ain't got no love for you. Shooting up my babies in a grocery store trying to go about their day and senior citizens. I hate you sinners and you commandment breakers. I'm not breaking any sins because sin is not keeping the law. 1 John 3 and 4. And the Most High hates you sinners too. You LGBTQ, you money-hungry, idolaters, blood-sucking criminals, you abortion people that commit abortion and want to kill babies, these people are bragging about it. There was a woman at a protest saying, I will kill babies, I'll kill 10,000 of them, and I will eat them. These people are wicked. But you're deceived by the masquerade of we are the world. And St. John 3:16, misunderstanding and lie. God so loves the world. No, Christ said, I hate the world. Come out of the world. Come out of her. I pray not for the world. I pray for my people. There's a sinister world you live in. Let's go back to Ecclesiastes because I want you to see something. Because the 12th chapter is a great chapter. I've taught out of it before. Not only does it establish that the Most High hates sinners, but if you skip down to the other verses, it points out some things. Verse 10 says this, never trust thine enemy. Who's my enemy? We just read who the enemy is. Our Gentile oppressors, those who are confederate against us in Psalms 83. These people are the enemies. Give me one second. Let me bring up this scripture. We've already established that a perfect hate. There is a perfect hate. But let's not get it twisted. And it's one that should have you praying the imprecatory prayers. I pray you wrote every chapter down and you begin praying these prayers daily. 1 second. Let's see if this scripture comes up right away. If not, we'll just keep it pushing. So many lies about who our God is. This is our book. This is our God. And everybody else better fall in line and be taught. Don't come trying to teach me my Bible, which is a false religion of Christianity, where you worship the image of Caesar Borgia, the sixth pope of Rome. All right, let's keep it pushing. I'm going to go back to Ecclesiasticus. I don't want to deal with that because that's sidetracked. I don't want to deal with that. Let's go back to Ecclesiasticus 12 and 10. Never trust thine enemy, for like as iron rusted, so is his wickedness. It never goes away. And though he humble himself and go crouching, yet take good heed and beware of him. And thou shalt be unto him as if thou hast wiped a looking glass, and thou shalt know that his rust has not been altogether wiped away. Set him not by thee, lest when he hath overthrown thee, he stand up in thy place. Neither let him sit at thy right hand, lest he seek to take thy seat. And thou at the last, remember my words and be pricked therewith. You have to remember, we are the ones who let Dylan Roof come inside the church to our Bible study and have prayer with us. We ain't never seen a white boy come amongst us. As soon as we closed our eyes, shot everybody up. Nah, we're not going for the okey-doke no more. So I've read the imprecatory prayers to you, what they mean. For you lovers of Paul, just coming out of the Christian church, Christ warned that you guys would quote Paul more than him and follow Paul more than him. When half the times Paul said, to the rest speak I, meaning he would give his own personal point of view, meaning like, I don't want to be married. I don't want none of these women. And then he would always have his comments. You can't even discern between that. But just for your little reference, Paul quotes Psalm 69, the imprecatory prayer in Romans 11, verses 9 through 10. He also quotes the imprecatory prayer of David from Psalm 69 and 9 in Romans 15 and 3. For you lovers of Paul, I say it like that because I ascribe to Peter, where the church was built upon. He said, upon this rock, Peter is Petra, which means rock, because he has the revelation that truly thou art the Son of God. He said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. Peter was the head of the church. And if you go to 2 Peter 3, 15 through 17, he warns you about Paul's writings. And he says it's not for everybody because he saw the confusion Paul's writings would bring the modern church who's not studied in Torah, Tanakh, the prophecies. You can't even have a Revelations without having the book of Daniel. You have to understand Daniel to interpret some of Revelations. You don't even understand the prophecies of the Tanakh to understand what the apostles are writing about. So you're thoroughly confused. You come to me quoting Paul with that kind of passion. Pray my strength in the Lord that I don't go snapping next. Because I'm just tired of people trying to keep our people oppressed and sleep. This is what Paul said in Romans 11, verse 9. And David said, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back always. Even he's quoting David. See, he knew the Old Testament that you call the Old Testament. He knew Torah and Tanakh, the prophets. He understood the writings. You don't understand it. But you take the confusing. You know, it's funny you all quote Paul, everything about Paul, but you won't quote what he said, I am an Israelite. Me too. I am of the seed of Abraham. I am of the tribe of Benjamin. Should we do away with the law? God forbid. They don't never quote those scriptures. Just the ones that work to their advantage. I'm trying to win a debate or an argument, which the Most High speaks about. I'm coming after y'all with a sword. Imprecatory psalms and these Christian ethics, yeah, they come into combat with each other. But I'm not here to talk about that. I'm here to talk to my people who are woke and want to stay woke and are preparing themselves for the time we live in. Let me tell you something. Because I understand this, I'm not worried about all the boots they have on the ground here in the United States already. You have so many terrorist cells here from the borders being broken and bringing the refugees in. They didn't need any documents or PCR tests from Afghanistan, everywhere. They're just dropping them off here. And not just that, Russians have been working with you, studying with you, living right next to you. And they know when they get the call what they're supposed to do. That along with the CCP, Chinese Communist Party, you think, oh, there's just so many Chinatowns. You don't know a lot of those people are here on behalf of their government and that they own pretty much all of America. Golden Gate Bridge has been sold. The Empire State Building has been sold. Chicago skyscrapers have been sold. These people want their stuff and their money. They don't want to destroy this land, but America as a corporation will be destroyed. They want the resources that are here. There's oil here. There's all types of commodities here. But our twisted government won't look for them. But I said all that to say, there was an article about the Chinese Communist Party any day now striking military bases and putting these boots on the ground in our cities and countries and starting martial law. I'm not concerned about that. There's so many things transpiring around us, and it's a cesspool because Satan is panicking because he's out of time. And then he's trying to destroy Israel, us, God's people. I need you to start praying imprecatory prayers every day. I pray for my people, and I don't trust my enemies, these Gentile nations that want to destroy us and are filled with racism. What is the recommendation for us as Israel? Let's go to Zephaniah, book of Zephaniah. So that's a little hard one to find, but it's Habakkuk is right before it, and Zechariah is right after it. The book of Zephaniah 2:1. It says, gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together, O nation not desired. Guess who that is? Israel. We're being told to prepare ourselves by the prophet saying, gather yourselves together. There's a Hebrew word for that. Let me pull up Strong's. I believe it's 7197. And that term is kashash. Hope I'm pronouncing that right. Kashash, the Hebrew Strong's word, 7197. And it is to gather as one, bring together all the stubble. It's spoken of in the book of Exodus as we began to prepare to leave about a Goshen to go into the promised land. He's telling us that we need to come together before the decree, bring forth before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger comes upon you. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness and seek meekness, and it may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Seek righteousness, which is keeping the commandments. Become meek, become humble, and let your prayers do the walking and the talking. Kashash, it is time for us to gather. Nation that's not desired. No one's going to write you a check. No one's going to save you. You're not going to get the pie in the sky, this million-dollar house, this contract. No one's going into this so-called Great Reset New World Order because there won't be one. There's going to be an Armageddon, people that are going to be destroyed off the top. If you go to the book of Obadiah, you know Esau's going to be destroyed. And he's going to gather Israel. We're preparing to be gathered to go into the wilderness so we'll be protected during the day of the Lord. But there are things you must do, prerequisites, to make sure you make it to the wilderness. I had wrote a song Are you going to the wilderness? Will I see you in the wilderness? Will you make it through the wilderness? Because in the wilderness, he's going to put down the rod real hard. And he said, I'm going to purge out the rebels amongst you. So he's going to gather all his people, but he knows a lot of us ain't right. And we ain't taking none of that madness into New Jerusalem. The gathering process has began. Let's go to the book of Malachi. Now we see that Romans 9 and 13, where he says, Jacob, I love you, so I hate it. That comes from the book of Malachi, the first chapter of Malachi, verses 2 and 3. But I want to go to something that the Christian church has twisted and used for another purpose. I want to go to Malachi, the third chapter and the sixth verse. And he said, "For the I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed." Do you know what he's saying right there? The only reason we have not been destroyed because he chose us early. And he's not going to go back on his promises. He's just upset with us right now because we turned our backs on him in the state of idolatry, worshiping other gods. Listen, he said, verse 7, Malachi 3 and 7, even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, said the Lord of hosts. But she said, wherein shall we return? This is, will a man rob God? That's what they used for tithing and had you scared in Christian church. That was slave mentality. You know what he was saying? You're cursed with a curse, verse 9. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. You robbed our people. Why? How did that happen? Deuteronomy 28. That's where the curses come from. How did the curses come upon us? Come on, in case you got amnesia, let me go ahead and read it. Listen, if you're woke, you're in this truth. Deuteronomy 28 is your foundational scripture. If you're trying to teach other people what this truth is, who we are as people, you start with Deuteronomy 28. That Bible study should last for a whole month. You should not leave that book, that chapter, until you have a complete, thorough understanding of what happened, how it happened, and how to avoid it, how we got into it. You should see it all right there. Deuteronomy 28. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. That's why our nation is hurting, because we didn't do that. He said, and all these blessings shall come on thee. Skip that. Let's go to verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee. That's all of them. Not the ones that people like David Lynn are telling you don't have to do no more because of some new covenant that he don't understand. This is ridiculous. Which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Everything we going through as a people. I've got them all marked, but that's not the lesson I'm doing today. Let's go back to Malachi 3. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. What we were supposed to be doing when he said bring the tithes into the storehouse is what's happening in Acts, the second chapter now, where everything we have belongs to the nation of Israel. We don't take care of ourselves. We don't even keep a storehouse amongst our people. The closest we got to it was Black Wall Street, and our enemies came to destroy us. Our money doesn't even circulate in our own community. We don't even support one another so that we might be able to take care of each other. The reason everybody sold what they had in Acts, the second chapter, that paradigm, was so that we could be self-sufficient and we autonomous and take care of ourselves and our needs would be supplied. We would share what we had. He said, if you do these things, and also at this time, they had to bless the house, the Levitical priesthood, because the Levites had no land. It was our job to take care of the priests. And he said, I would rebuke the devourer for your sakes. We don't take care of the Levitical priesthood because we don't have a temple and we don't have Levitical priests. The veil of the temple has been ripped, according to Hebrews. We're under the order of Melchizedek, and we are all priests under that order now. And we can boldly, separately, individually approach the throne. When it says that what the law couldn't do, Christ had to come and do it, make perfect. It was because there was times, let me say this, this is a side note. We would wait once a year for the priest to go in and atone for our sins. We would have to give him an offering, sacrifice an animal, and we would tie a bell to him in a rope. You say, what was the purpose of that? Because when the priest would go beyond the second court and go into the Holy of Holies and go before the presence of Yah, if he had sin in his life, he would die. So there would be times during the time of atonement that if that priest wasn't right and he went in there not living right, your sins didn't get atoned for because he died. He wasn't right. Christ came and became our ultimate sacrifice and atonement. We fast now to cast out demons and to keep ourselves straight. We don't do those. We don't fast for the Day of Atonement. He's already atoned for our sins. He's already shed his blood. We fast now because he said these kind come out but by fasting and prayer. Fasting will bring about a healing, spiritual, psychological. I yield. I digress. Let's go back to Malachi. All nations, verse 12 says, all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, said the Lord of hosts. This was us keeping the commandments and doing things right. Us not keeping the commandments, keeping Christianity, Islam, and Judaism, which I don't follow. They follow the Kabbalah and Talmud. I follow Torah and Tanakh and Yeshua as my brother and Messiah, and I worship only God, the Most High Yah, spoken of in Psalm 68:4. We're not told to worship Jesus. We're not in this place right now. We're hated by our enemies, and they will always hate you. And I'm not going to love them. I'm like David. I hate them that hate you. And the Most High said, I hate them. There's something in them that's not right. They're deceivers, liars, hunters, killers. Let's look at some more of Malachi. Let's look at the fourth chapter before I close. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly. Now, let's pause right there. All that do wickedly. Let's not forget Ecclesiasticus. Verse chapter 12, and what we just read, he said, I hate the sinners. And then he also went down in verse 11 and said, their wickedness is as rust. It never goes away. But let's go back to Malachi. The Lord's day is coming, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, they shall be as stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, said the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. This is a nation of people that are about to be destroyed because Jacob grabbed Esau's heel. And Jacob is the beginning of the world. Esau is the end of the world. There's been a spiritual turmoil and fight going on. The reason I have not put a dog in the fight all the time with this conversation, because of the scripture that Christ said, let the wheat and the tare grow together. When I come, I'm going to separate them and burn up the tares. That means the tares are sojourning amongst us, acting like they love us, but they hate us, they hate Yah. So the reason I know we can't spend a lot of time doing these lessons talking about we got people amongst us that study Mormonism, and we got these hybrids, and we got these octoroons, and all these different colors and shades and nations. And we can't distract ourselves by that because we're supposed to be busy doing the work, preaching, teaching, taking care of the widow, the sick, the homeless. And furthermore, I go back to Ecclesiasticus 12. Let me read this one to you because I did this lesson before and I didn't want to go into it. But Ecclesiasticus, the 12th chapter, says, he's clear. He's in verse 4, give to the godly man and help not sinners, people that don't keep the law. Do well unto him that is lowly, but give not to the ungodly. He said, don't even bless the ungodly. Don't bless these people you don't know what they're going to do with what you give them. So we're busy doing the work. The racial divide, the 12 tribe chart, I'm going to let the Most High handle that. know by faith through the Ruach, the Holy Spirit, that I am of the seed of Israel. I'm in one of those tribes, and he's going to gather me if I do the work, which is keep his laws, commandments, his ordinances, and his statutes, because I am not of the nation of Esau or Edom or Amalek. I am of the nation of Israel. I already know that. That's established in my Hebrew history book that you call the Bible. Whereas somebody came out a different color, it was pointed out. Noah came out looking like the child of the angels with fire. He almost gave him back. Moses put his hand inside his garment, pulled it out, it was leprous. Why would that make a difference? Because he was black, pulled his hand out, it was white. Didn't have sores and pus and all. No. It turned a different color. These things are brought out in the Bible to show you that these people have twisted this whole entire narrative to throw you off to push white supremacy. Malachi 4 and 1, Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Verse 2, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under your soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, said the Lord of hosts. Do you realize he's saying that the righteous are not going to be burnt up when the day of the Lord comes and fire rains down? That we're going to be like gold tried in the fire, and we're going to come out as pure gold? We will not be singed or touched? How do I know? Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace? Anybody remember that story? Turned the heat up so hot that the guys throwing them in got burnt up alive. They came out of the fiery furnace. Their eyebrows were intact, clothes were intact, and they didn't even smell like smoke. If you don't believe in miracles, I guess you won't be able to believe this can happen for you. He's saying that we're going to tread upon Esau as stubble. Guess how I know this is true? Because he said, when we see him, we shall all be changed, and we shall be just like him, but we shall see him as he is. The dead in Christ will rise. We're going to be transformed and put on immortal immediately and join in the battle and fight. The army will be changed when the firmament cracks open. Let's go to verse 4. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant. Now, you're going to tell me the law is done away with. He just told you the day of the Lord that if you can avoid it, if you're righteous, these are the things you must do. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb, for all Israel with statutes and judgments. That's for us. And he said, behold, I will send you Elijah, the spirit of Elijah the prophet, before the coming great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. That is, gather yourselves together right there, O nation less desired. Come back to the statutes, laws, and commandments. Come back to our God. Let's not even look for them to vindicate us and validate us in their courts or their justice systems. These people still hate you to the core. Don't even look for no, what's this money they want? No. Forget, that's all Satan, crypto and Bitcoin. If you're looking to try to make a dollar, you're just supposed to work and occupy until he comes. But as far as trying to get this money from the government that we feel they owe us, reparations is the term I'm looking for. Deuteronomy 28 said, no man will buy you, no man will save you. It's not coming. He does not want you comfortable in this land, this earth, this lying place. He wants you to seek him and depend on him and walk by faith and not by sight. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Yeshua. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Amen. Hallelujah. I can attest to that. He supplies our needs and greater is that's in us than anything in the world. If you don't believe this, then you are in sin for not having faith. For without faith, it's impossible to please Yah. Impossible. And you don't want to be not pleasing in his sight. When it says that these wicked people will be turned into stubble, we're going to march right over them. That's spoken of in the book of Obadiah. It said that we will be turned into light, fire, And immediately Esau will become stubborn. I don't have to read it. You can go over there and look at it. It's just one chapter. We've read it many times. I did a lesson on it on YouTube called Light, Fire, and Stubble. That's the transformation that we will take hold of right before those that are of wickedness and these other nations that he needs to destroy, Esau and Edom, they're going to be turned to stubble. That drama, that is for the wicked. Okay, that horror sci-fi movie, that evil that's coming on the earth, that's not for me. And I say that humbly because I'm going to humble myself before the hand of Yah and keep his commandments. For the commandments of the Lord, they're not something that's like a weight. It's a joy. People talking about you can't keep them because they don't want to keep them because they don't love Yah, and you can't make them love Yah. The commandments of the Lord are a delight. And when he speaks about it in Isaiah 58, he says you have to find them a delight. You have to get excited the fact that Sabbath is coming. You have to get excited on the fact that Passover and Holy Days are coming, and Feast of Trumpets, and do it with delight. And he said this is to be done throughout all your generations. He didn't say it suddenly comes to a magical stop when Jesus came. He just took care of the law of sacrifice and death, because you were stoned if you didn't keep these laws. So let's keep it right. Let's backtrack. Imprecatory prayers, brothers and sisters, much necessary. Waste your time praying for this world. Waste your time praying for those sinners. Lines have been drawn. People have made their decisions, their choices, and their allegiances to. And they'll take all of this Babylon sorceries, pharmakia, pharmaceutical medicines. They don't want to hear about your herbs, your salvation. They don't want to hear about religion because they use the deception and trickery of Christianity to turn the people off and our children off about the word in the Bible. And now these churches are about to close. Because our children saw that the church was just as wicked as the world. All the pedophilia and homosexuality and adultery and fornication. They're like, this is fake. And they're absolutely right. But this is real. Coming back to Yah, his statutes, his laws, his commandments, living holy, shunning adultery, murder, lying, and fornication. And knowing that he will answer the prayers of the righteous. Those are the only prayers he hears. And our prayers now, today, I tell you, are going to be imprecatory prayers. No more kumbaya, holding hands in a circle, praying for the killers and little gunmen. No. Kill him and his whole family. Validate us. You'll get used to it. It's just your brainwashing, your programming from the Christian church. You'll be all right. You study David. Study these imprecatory chapters. That's going to be my lesson for the day because that's all I got to say. Shabbat shalom.